This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A split decision in former President Trump's election conspiracy case. A federal judge has agreed to a looser version of a protective order requested by the prosecution. It would prevent Mr. Trump from speaking publicly about evidence deemed sensitive. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
My guess is at the end of the day, when we look at the scope of the protective order, it will look somewhere in the middle of what both sides want. The prosecution initially asked for something that I think can be fairly viewed as broad. The defense said narrower, narrower. And I think at the end of the day, nobody will be exactly happy.
Hawaii emergency management records show no sign warning sirens sounded before people ran for their lives, some jumping into the ocean to escape the flames of raging wildfires that killed at least 55 people. Despite widespread power and cellular outages, alerts went to mobile phones, TVs, and radio stations. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is on Maui.
80% of the tourist town of Lahaina is gone. Entire blocks of homes and businesses wiped out. Some residents told us they never received official warnings.
We kind of just figured it out on our own.
Liza Tobias fled her home, her father Carlo Tobias missing, after he refused to leave Tuesday night.
I wanted to force him to come with me. He was very hard-headed and he didn't want to come.
Many who escaped the flames are now waiting for roads to reopen to see if their home survived. But others who've been trapped inside by those same road closures are running low on basics.
The union that represents striking film and TV screenwriters resumes negotiation with big studios and streamers today. Everybody Loves Raymond's Brad Garrett's been picketing.
Let's do it all at once. Let's piggyback. Let's all go in. Let's get this industry back. We can't do without the writers. WGA. They can't do without the actors.
WGA members have been on strike for more than 100 days now. Actors joined them in July. And they're not the only ones striking.
Thousands of hospitality workers held a rally on the Las Vegas Strip, calling for higher pay and better benefits. The Culinary Workers Union, which represents food service workers at T-Mobile Arena, has been negotiating a new contract for almost a year. Workers say they want a fair contract to ensure one job is enough for their families. Wendy Gillette, CBS News, Las Vegas.
The Biden administration is spending $1.2 billion on giant vacuums in Texas and Louisiana designed to slow global warming by sucking carbon from the air. The Dow is up 40 points. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I have diabetes.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's top prosecutor wants access to bankruptcy documents that were sealed by the Archdiocese of Milwaukee in 2015. Attorney General Josh Call filed a motion in federal court this week to reopen the case that led to a $21 million settlement between the Archdiocese and hundreds of sex abuse survivors. Call says he'd keep any information in the documents confidential, but it could be helpful in his broader investigation of alleged child abuse by religious leaders in Wisconsin. The Archdiocese tells the Journal Sentinel that Call's request violates the rights of the survivors and others in the case. 10 fake Trump electors from Wisconsin face a civil trial next year. They're being sued for almost $2.5 million. Pete Schwabe has more.
A Dane County judge denied a motion to throw out the case yesterday. The liberal firm of Law Forward is suing. It says the fake electors and lawyers who advised them committed a host of crimes, including impersonating a public official and engaging in a conspiracy. The judge's order comes about a week after the U.S. Justice Department filed federal criminal charges against Donald Trump for allegedly trying to overturn the 2020 election. The indictment says the plot relied on Republican electors in a handful of swing states, including Wisconsin. Last month, Michigan became the first state to charge fake electors in criminal court. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call won't say if he plans to file criminal charges here. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
The Milwaukee Brewers may be serious about leaving Wisconsin if there's no deal from the state to pay for maintaining American Family Field. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells WisPolitics that state and local governments and the Brewers should share in the responsibility. The package, as it stands, covers $698 million over 27 years. The state share would be $463 million, which includes taxes on Brewers players, employees, and even opposing players. Another $100 million would come from the team itself. Local governments would pay about $5 million a year, even though officials with the city and county of Milwaukee have been resistant. Voss says lawmakers will resume Brewer Stadium talks later this year. The Mississippi Supreme Court says it will not remove former Packers star quarterback Brett Favre from a civil lawsuit over millions of dollars of misspent welfare money. Millions of federal welfare dollars were spent on projects supported by wealthy and well-connected people, including Favre. He has not been charged with any crimes, but other people connected with the scheme have reached plea deals. Indigenous college students face a lot of obstacles. The people behind a Wisconsin project are doing their part to help make higher education more affordable. Mike Moen reports.
The University of Wisconsin-Madison Star Lab is using a $500,000 foundational grant to create a one-stop shop for Indigenous students to find scholarship programs and other forms of financial relief specifically geared for them. Project co-leader Gresham Collum says he hopes the effort also compels more higher ed institutions to expand opportunities and update policies.
A lot of Indigenous students come from low-income areas where they have Pell Grant funding, and what I would like to see is a lot of these programs expand their offerings to cover costs like childcare, health care, basic cost of living.
He says those wraparound issues often get in the way of Indigenous students advancing their college careers. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
The Cream Puff Pavilion at the Wisconsin State Fair is getting a makeover. The state of Wisconsin will spend $12.5 million to modernize and expand the building in time for next year's fair. The Cream Puff Pavilion is one of the oldest and busiest on the state fairgrounds. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know. Barron County officials said the Marathon County Bomb Squad was called in to get rid of dynamite found near Rice Lake on Wednesday. The Sheriff's Department said an outbuilding had to be destroyed as well due to it containing residue that could easily catch on fire or explode. According to a release, the property owners had no idea that there was dynamite in the outbuilding. A Cumberland man was sentenced to 4 years of probation for stealing rebate checks while he worked as a mail carrier. Joshua Copas is accused of swiping 30 Menards rebate checks totaling $4,500 from people on his route. Copas pleaded guilty to mail theft by a postal employee and will have to pay all of the money back. A Neillsville man was sentenced to prison for killing a highway worker while he was driving drunk. Corey Neumuller will spend 10 years in prison, followed by 8 years of extended supervision for killing Russell Opelt and seriously injuring David Murphy, who were working to remove a tree in the road near Greenwood in 2021. Neumuller's blood alcohol level was .114, and he pleaded no contest to the charges of homicide and causing injury by intoxicated use of a vehicle back in April. The death of a man outside of a Jackson County Gentlemen's Club is now considered a homicide. The sheriff's office said 55-year-old Andrew Frechette of Beaver Dam was found dead in a car in the parking lot of Jimmy's In-Between in the town of Alma on June 30th. Investigators didn't release any other information. Anybody with information is asked to call the Jackson County Sheriff's Office. The State Patrol is stepping up its aerial enforcement on I-94 in Eau Claire County this weekend. On both Saturday and Sunday, troopers will be using airplanes to help look for reckless drivers on the interstate. The DOT says they've seen an increase this year in reckless driving, including for speeders going over 100 miles per hour. Penalties for reckless driving greatly increased in a new law signed earlier this year by Governor Tony Evers. And the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that there will be scattered storm chances throughout the weekend here in northwestern Wisconsin that could offer a bit of relief given the ongoing drought. We'll have more details coming up next in weather. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Are you ready to rock and roll? Much-needed rain is striking and bringing strong storms along with it. Highs today tap the mid to upper 70s with the humidity on the rise. The Storm Prediction Center has issued a slight risk for a good chunk of the state, including the western, central, and southern portions, for severe weather today. As a low pressure heads straight for the middle of Wisconsin, it's draping a warm front and stickiness into the area. This will act as fuel for severe thunderstorms, capable of producing damaging winds, large hail, and even a few tornadoes. The threat for twisters mainly targets the southeastern parts of the state. Have a fantastic Friday and stay weather savvy, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers begin their road trip. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the White Sox tonight in Chicago, the start of a 9-game road trip for the crew. Corbin Burns gets the start and says they can't overlook the struggling White Sox. Burns on the Brewers winning so many close games in the past month.
Yeah, it's a product of playing good baseball teams. Obviously, coming out of the break, we've played a lot of good baseball teams. Probably one of our tougher stretches of our schedule as far as the teams we played. These guys, obviously record-wise, doesn't show as a good team, but they still got a lot of good baseball players. And if we don't come out and play our best baseball, then any team can beat you.
Game time tonight, 7:10. The Brewers with a 2.5-game lead in the NL Central. NFL, Roger Goodell is coming to Lambeau Field before Monday's Packers training camp practice to officially announce the NFL draft coming to Green Bay in 2025. The commissioner will be joined by team president Mark Murphy. The event will be open to the public. Last night in New England, the Patriots losing to the Texans 20-9. Bill Belichick and the Patriots will be in Green Bay next week for joint practice sessions. We are in Cincinnati, where the Packers face the Bengals tonight here at Paycor Stadium, the kickoff at 6 o'clock. It's a big night for Packers backup quarterback Sean Clifford, who grew up here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's been great being home. I just was with some family. I'll have a bunch of people in the stands wearing some Clifford gear, so it'll be a lot of fun. It's just a great opportunity to do what I love and keep pursuing this dream with such a great organization. So it really is an honor, and very excited to be back in Cincinnati.
I asked veteran left tackle David Bakhtiari how far along the Packers' young offense has grown during this training camp.
This is, week 3? So, still got a lot of time, a lot of work to go. Any positives, great, but, we got to make sure we sustain those. It's only been 3 weeks, and then any negatives, we have so much time to clean those things up. I'd even say personally for me, I'm still knocking off rust, kind of getting my feet in, and also, for me, adding my load as my weeks start coming on. So, treating camp how it's supposed to be treated, which is to load us to get us ready for week 1. That's the most important thing.
Jordan Love expected to get some snaps in at quarterback. Is it good to get a few hits out of the way during the preseason?
I think it's always good to get back in that mode of getting hit. I haven't been hit since last year. But obviously, I'm never trying to get hit. It's never the goal. But it does prepare you and get your mind back in that live mentality.
Head coach Zach Taylor was asked who will or won't suit up tonight for Cincinnati.
There will be a high number of starters that won't play. And then there will be some younger guys that maybe we're really counting on that will play, that still need some of those reps. And doesn't mean that there's going to be high volume of reps, but they'll still get some work, and we think that's needed.
That's Bengals head coach Zach Taylor. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Showers and storms tonight, some could be on the strong side. We'll see a low around 57. Sunshine and 82 on Saturday. Saturday night, mostly clear, lows around 57. Chance of showers on Sunday, 78.
Currently, 75 degrees.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined by Luke and Aaron. Gentlemen, how are we doing on the greatest of Wednesdays, Friday afternoon?
Your favorite Wednesday, Friday afternoon. We're having a great time here on Civic Media's airwaves. I was thrilled to be able to join Kristen Bry and Jane Matinair on As Goes Wisconsin earlier today. I had some fun with them. They just finished up from 10 a.m. till noon across the Civic Media Network, and I'm thrilled to be on the airwaves with you now, Will. Everybody wants to add an S to your last name, man. You got to put out I try to let them all know, two first names, Will Walter. And they all want to say Will Walters. I don't know.
I'm used to it, dude. I grew
I'm
up
trying to
it.
Correct them as best I can. I'm letting everybody know that asks. They are still really thrown off as a am I about the one L in Will, but you know, I'm getting around to it. My phone auto-corrects it sometimes, but it's okay.
I type it with one L because I know you like it that way, but I don't actually think that that's how it's spelled.
I'm not trying to tell you that you're spelling your name wrong, but you're spelling your name wrong. Like, if I'm being brutally honest, I don't really care. If you are talking in my general direction, and as long as it starts with a W, I will understand you're referring to me, and I'll be okay with it.
You should just go by Dubs. Two Ws.
That's fine.
W squared.
Call me Dubs.
Yeah. It works.
Call me Will. Call me Walter. Call me what else starts with a W? Call me Wilma, I guess. Like, I don't really care. As long as it's got the W, I just don't do Bill.
All right.
That's my one. That's the one stipulation here. Call me anything as long as you're talking in my general direction, as long as it's not Bill.
Not Billiam. All right.
What about late for dinner?
I don't get that one.
No, that went right over his head, Aaron. You can just look at his face when you said it. He was like, what are you talking about? I got it. Aaron, I picked up what you were putting down. I absolutely picked that one up.
I tried not to give it away on the street. I was like,
You've never heard the phrase, you can call me anything, just don't call me late for dinner?
Yeah, it's the old boomer joke.
Yeah, you got to hang out with a little more boomers.
That's not something that's been advised to me very frequently, so I can't say that I'm too confident in that. But gentlemen, we got Friday, best Wednesday of the week. Of course, this means Wisconsin headlines. Let me hear your absolute best Wisconsin headline. Share it with us if you have an incredible Wisconsin, Wisconsin headline. Luke, I am, of course, the defending champion, which is something that you will likely be hearing for the next couple of Fridays, because I feel like I'm hitting my stride now. I feel like I'm on a bit of a roll. I'm really, everything's really come together nicely for my Wisconsin headline.
It's a lot of confidence being exuberated by somebody who's losing the running tally. So, okay.
My guy, you're like one game over 500. I don't need to hear that. It's a long season.
It should be three games over.
A long season.
Like when the replacement refs came out and admitted, you know, that there were problems in that game, in 2012, 2013? The ref last week admitted, you know, there may have been some impropriety. We're going to uphold the results. It was called what it was called. The game's over from last week. But we get it another try now. In another world, I am ahead three, not just one.
I don't believe that was last week either. Wasn't that 2 weeks ago?
No.
It was last week.
That was last week. 2 weeks ago, Aaron was up in the UP, and you had your friend come in. Anders was our guest judge, and he sided properly with me.
He actually told me after the fact that he felt bad for you, and he didn't want it to make it seem like it was.
What are you talking about? It was the DVO story.
Realistically, I should be up by one right now. Is what I'm hearing. Is what I'm hearing.
Whatever. All right, let's not litigate weeks past. Let's dive into the most Wisconsin headlines.
Stop the
steal.
Well, it's up to you, Luke. You're first. I'm deferring to you as the defending champion. I thought that's how we did it now. I mean, we can play rock, paper, scissors again if you'd like. I'm all for that as well.
We're good. I will go first because I've got one that we've gotten. It's a little theme this week. It is the final couple days. You can go to the Wisconsin State Fair between now and Sunday when it wraps up on Sunday the 13th. But this headline over at WISN 12 in Milwaukee, I thought was just very, very uber Wisconsin. State Fair livestock auction helps youth in Wisconsin pay for college. I think that's just wholesome. When the livestock that are shown at the Wisconsin State Fair get sold at auction, those funds then go and help pay for tuition to go to college. And it's just a very Wisconsin way to put yourself through school, in my opinion. Like, selling livestock at an auction to get to college.
That screams Wisconsin.
That's pretty Wisconsin.
Yeah. No,
it does. That is my first leadoff most Wisconsin headline of the week, Will.
I'm glad you submitted something positive. You've been a bit of a downer the last few weeks on some of your news stories, and I'm glad to see it trending in the other direction now. So I'm going to ramp it up. I'm going to start a little bit slow with a statewide piece reading over from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 40-year-old Stevens Point college student will be first Republican to challenge Tammy Baldwin for Senate in 2024. As Wisconsin Republicans search for a viable contender to challenge Tammy Baldwin, a 40-year-old college student in Stevens Point is poised to become the first Republican to officially announce a bid for the seat. We have covered this race a little bit, Luke, going back the past few weeks, and how many elected officials have kind of, I don't want to say scared, but they don't express much interest in challenging Tammy Baldwin, as she is quite popular throughout the state of Wisconsin. They understand that the race is likely going to be difficult and that they probably don't have a great shot at winning. So not many individuals have stepped up to run against her. But here we have the first official challenger now in the 2024 Senate race.
It's a headline. It takes place in Wisconsin. That doesn't really feel like a very Wisconsin headline to me, though, Will. Like, outside of the two qualifiers.
I did not ask, Luke. I did not ask if you thought it felt like a Milwaukee headline.
I didn't ask if you wanted to put it out there. I'm starting slow.
I said I'm starting a little slow. We're ramping up. Okay. We're going statewide first, and then I'll dive into some of my more local pieces.
Okay. Well, I've got my next. My next one's a statewide one, so we can get into
this. I got
that
fitness background, Luke. Think of it like the plyometrics or the stretching to kind of warm up your body for the good workout or sporting event you're about to go through.
No, I just I don't stretch. I just jump right into it.
Plyometrics? What the heck is plyometrics?
He scans his face before he goes into the workout facility. It's biometrics, right?
I think that might be a different thing.
I don't know what the words the Will throws around sometimes.
Plyometrics is a type of exercise training using speed and force different movements to build muscle power. So let's get in the gym sometime and I'll show you some plyometric
workouts. I like
workouts,
the volleyball fellas. Court on Wednesdays, and I will go for the occasional the circuit run through at the gym that I go to, and that's about it. I don't need to have any of these fancy
words. You played
words.
Soccer in high school, didn't you? There's no way that you didn't do these type of warm-up
more
exercises.
Than a decade ago, and nobody ever called them that. They would be the flutter kicks and the high knees and stuff like that. You'd have the specific names. So I've never heard the word that you. I can't even repeat it. What was it?
Plyometrics. Plyometrics.
I don't think I've ever heard plyometrics be referred to in any of the workouts that I've ever done.
Plyometric training is a series of explosive bodyweight resistance exercises using the stretch shortening cycle, or SSC, of the muscle fiber to enhance physical capability, such as increasing musculotendinous stiffness and power.
Okay, well, I guess
Thank
the circuits.
You. I'm glad somebody has access to Wikipedia here. Like, we have Google, gentlemen. Their technology exists. Please do not question my knowledge of the fitness industry. That is one thing that I will admit I am
I didn't
pretty well versed.
I don't know
a whole lot of stuff.
I said that I haven't heard that terminology. I wasn't questioning it. I'm saying, what the heck is what word are you using?
Just to give you some more context as well, Luke, the term plyometric is a combination of Greek roots that means to increase measurement, plyo meaning more, and metric meaning length.
I think maybe instead of mental gymnastics, we should do mental plyometrics.
I mean, if that helps us get some great stories, I'm all for it.
How did this devolve into a country of origin for a word segment rather than most Wisconsin headlines segment?
I'm just giving you some context here. You were calling out the words that I'm using, and I didn't appreciate that, so I wanted to, you know, just.
Oh, okay. This is how we got there. I said it was a Wisconsin story. It was a headline, but it wasn't a Wisconsin headline. Gotcha. Then we got to where you were warming up. Got it. Okay, my next one. Going off to the second one.
You also accused, you thought it originally meant like scanning your face in.
I heard biometrics. That's what I heard. I heard biometric. So I caught the second half. You just didn't enunciate the plyo very well.
You were half right. I'll give you that.
This is my second most Wisconsin headline of the week over at the Wisconsin Examiner, one of my favorite outlets. And the picture with the headline goes a really long way. What a temper tantrum by the Wisconsin Supreme Court's Chief Justice tells us. It is a commentary piece by Ruth Conniff over at the Wisconsin Examiner. And the graphic that goes with the headline is a bunch of spilt milk, which I just think is perfect, because crying over spilt milk is a lot of what was going on surrounding the administrative rule changes taking place at the Wisconsin Supreme Court since Janet Protasiewicz was sworn in as the 7th justice last week, changing the makeup of the state Supreme Court from a 4-3 conservative majority to a 4-3 liberal majority. And so crying over spilt milk, Ruth Conniff does an excellent job breaking down the fact that, yes, it only takes a quorum of 4 of the justices on the state's highest court to change administrative rules. So the going to conservative outlets and bemoaning, saying that this was the equivalent of a coup, while the Chief Justice had voted to overturn the right outcome of the 2020 election without evidence, Chief Justice Annette Ziegler, wanted to overturn those election results. That was an actual coup that was attempting to be taken out, but the administrative rule changes, those to her were a coup, but she does not make up the majority anymore. She is one of the 3 justices in the minority on the state Supreme Court, and it's been a pretty interesting saga to see what unfolded with those rule changes, with the firing of the head of the court system here in Wisconsin, and the crying over spilt milk that occurred over the last 2 weeks here, Will.
Yeah, so I like, Luke, how you went out of your way to make the milk analogy and point out that the piece uses spilled milk, because you're wrapping it all back up in Wisconsin. I love it. Well done. I actually had this story lined up as well. This is, I think this is something that we might even want to touch on a little bit longer, spend some time discussing this article, because as we noted, the Supreme Court in Wisconsin has taken what would be considered unprecedented steps in the past, such as in 2015, when they changed the old way the Chief Justice for 126 years had been the longest serving member. Well, conservative justices changed that, allowing for the election of Chief Justice Ziegler in the first place. So this was not the first time they have done something like that. I want to kind of continue this conversation a little bit, Luke, because I think this is something that really needs to be touched on. If you have a Wisconsin headline for us, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News special report, an unexpected announcement from Attorney General Merrick Garland, who's just named Delaware's U.S. Attorney David Weiss as special counsel to oversee the Hunter Biden investigation.
I have concluded that it is in the public interest to appoint him as special counsel.
Weiss has already been leading the tax and weapons probe into the president's son, which began in 2019.
As special counsel, he will continue to have the authority and responsibility that he has previously exercised to oversee the investigation and decide where, when, and whether to file charges.
The government has just filed a motion to invalidate Hunter Biden's plea agreement, which blew up in court last week. Also today, the judge overseeing former President Trump's conspiracy case agreed to a looser version of a prosecution request for a protective order preventing Mr. Trump from speaking publicly about evidence in the case deemed sensitive. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Barron County officials said the Marathon County Bomb Squad was called in to get rid of dynamite found near Rice Lake on Wednesday. The sheriff's department said an outbuilding had to be destroyed as well due to it containing materials that could easily catch on fire or explode. According to a release, the property owners had no idea there was dynamite in the outbuilding. A Cumberland man was sentenced to 4 years of probation for stealing rebate checks while he worked as a mail carrier. Joshua Kopis is accused of swiping 30 Menards rebate checks totaling $4,500 from people on his route. Kopis pleaded guilty to mail theft by a postal employee and will have to pay all of the money back. A Neillsville man was sentenced to prison for killing a highway worker while he was driving drunk. Ray Neumuller will spend 10 years in prison for killing Russell Opelt and seriously injuring David Murphy while they were working to remove a tree in the road near Greenwood in 2021. Neumuller pleaded guilty to the charges of homicide and causing injury by intoxicated use of a vehicle back in April. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means we're talking Wisconsin headlines of the week. If you have an oh-so Wisconsin headline you'd like to share with us, give us a call or shoot us a text. Luke, you mentioned a piece over from Wisconsin Examiner, what a temper tantrum by the Wisconsin Supreme Court's Chief Justice tells us, noting the image and the temper tantrum itself amounts to essentially spilt milk. And we were kind of talking about that article a little bit because I also had that up. I thought that was something that was worth covering. I want to continue.
I just want the record to show, though, this one's going under my column for...
It's all yours. All right. It's all yours. All right. It's all yours. I just think it's worth discussing a little bit longer. And as the piece by Ruth Conniff points out, the subject of a lot of the anger from the now minority of the Supreme Court was the new majority's decision to fire the conservative Chief Justice's right-hand man, Randy Koshnick, the director of state courts. So this is something that we have covered pretty extensively over the past few weeks. I do want to note, however, Luke, he was replaced with an appointee of former Republican Governor Scott Walker and will answer to the entire court rather than just Ziegler, according to Justice Ziegler. Rebecca Dallet.
Ziegler.
Is it Ziegler? Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's Ziegler, but I could be wrong.
I trust you.
I'm always going to leave space for me to be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I've heard Annette Ziegler as the pronunciation for Wisconsin's Chief Justice.
Gotcha. According to Justice Rebecca Dallet, Ziegler spent months rebuffing the majority's effort to get her to choose a date at the start of the term to discuss court business. The new majority called a meeting anyways, which, as we've noted, they have the ability to do so. And at that meeting, the justices revised court rules to make court decision making more inclusive, timely, and responsive, effectively to prevent the chief from slow walking the calendar, preventing cases she doesn't want to hear from coming up. This is vitally important, and I'm glad that you brought it up, Luke, because it needs to be touched on. I believe that means it is now my turn.
I believe you're correct.
It generally works that way, right? I'm going to go a little local here, something in my neck of the woods-ish. Reading over from civicmedia.com, a piece from Peter Cameron at the Badger Project. Brewers lead state in lobbying spending as club seeks millions for stadium renovations. In dollars spent, the ball club was the state's top lobbying organization in the first 6 months of 2023, as they seek hundreds of millions of dollars in state funds for stadium renovations. The Milwaukee Brewers spent more on lobbying in the first half of the year than any other organization in Wisconsin, an investigation by the Badger Project has found. The ball club reported spending $575,000 from January through June, according to state lobbying records. And the team also reported spending 143.75 hours communicating with legislators.
Hey, quick
to
note.
A little bit of... Go ahead.
You said this was on civicmedia.com, which I would like to point out does not exist. It is civicmedia.us.
Ooh, getting dinged
well
for
done,
not sharing the URL correctly. Jeez.
That is that's a minus half point there. But much like Simone Biles, I tend to take the most difficult routines possible. So my max points are higher anyways.
Most difficult. What? What?
Just play along with me for a little bit here, Luke.
Fridays. I can't help
my routine is significantly more difficult, so I have a couple of spare points to give.
We are adversaries on Fridays, my friends. I cannot give you that support, but it's a pretty good headline. I've got a Brewers-related one, too, but we want to hear them from you here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Again, that number, 844-967-2789. If you've got a very Wisconsin headline that you would like to share with Will and I, we want to hear them. Call or text. You can do it right from the Civic Media app. Up first this Friday afternoon, we got Joe here in Madison calling in. Joe, do you have a very Wisconsin headline for us, or would you like to chime in on one of the ones we've already shared?
I'd like to chime in. And first I wanted to say that the reference to Simone Biles was, man, you ought to get at least 10 points for that. That was brilliant.
Thank
brilliant
you, Joe. I will take that.
It wasn't harder. It's just the URL.
Okay. Anyway, I mean, you got to admit, you got to give it to him for the Simone Biles reference. I wanted to return to the issue of the unhappy Supreme Court justice, a conservative, who is now looking at a situation where the life has changed. Oh my God, life has changed. And one of the things that I so appreciate about the Civic Media Network and the shows that you all have is the fact that you provide detail and context And it really goes beyond a headline. And I love it so much that you're able to open up articles and explain and describe. I wanted to go back to that situation of the unhappiness that our Chief Justice has, and to look at what was detailed in that article. She spoke of this change of being, quote, dangerous conduct and shameful. And I wanted to just make the point that there were three items that they mentioned that she was opposing. One was the fact that meetings about administration of the Supreme Court would now be open. Oh my God, how dangerous and shameful. There will now be committees to study when justices should recuse themselves. Might that not be a good idea, especially in light of what's going on with Clarence Thomas and others at our national Supreme Court? That's dangerous conduct and shameful by her recommendations. And finally, they've had a committee to review budget and key appointments. And again, this is her example of shameful conduct. I find this, you know, spilled milk doesn't even begin to describe it. This is 2-year-old. This is 3-year-old. This is 4-year-old at the most. This is just such a running for whining. And I think for whiner of the week, she certainly won that. It is really a good thing to remind us that we have a past of the Wisconsin Supreme Court with David Prosser and his famous choking incident with Ann Walsh Bradley, where he had his hands on her throat but said, no, I was not choking her. Ziegler was one of the people that bagged out of keeping this guy responsible for his conduct. It is a shame that she will never overcome. That man assaulted another Supreme Court justice, and Prosser owed an apology to the court at minimum, if not a fine, and Annette Ziegler made sure that her conservative buddy would not be held to account. So I would say that, in my mind, was dangerous and shameful conduct. So thanks a lot for the chance to talk, guys.
No, we absolutely appreciate it, Joe.
And I think what another really good point that Joe made was pointing out that a lot of this is anger about losing control and forced oversight, which, as Joe pointed out, is a pretty big topic at the national level right now. The Supreme Court is essentially unaccountable. They can do and say whatever they want without repercussions. There is no one to overlook what their actions are. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court, evidently in this case, the Chief Justice, wants to continue to have that authority herself. She's angry that the 7-person court now has the ability to do things without her overarching power and rule determining whether or not we are allowed to have these meetings. And oversight is always a good thing. Accountability is always a good thing, particularly for the most powerful individuals in the state and the country. And it's I got to agree with Joe. It's shameful for the Chief Justice to accuse those who want open access and accountability of shameful behavior.
And, you know, this is not a constructive thing to say, but I have to say to Annette Ziegler, cry more.
Oh, geez, Aaron. Wow. Well, you know, what they say is when you got the facts on your side, you pound the facts. When you got the law on your side, you pound the law. And when you got neither of those, then you pound the table. And that seems to be what the justices now in the minority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court are doing, pounding the table, pounding the airwaves for going to conservative talk radio shows to air these grievances. It is something that needs to be talked about. And I'm glad that the spilt milk reference was allowed me to bring it into the most Wisconsin headlines of the week. If you've got Wisconsin headlines, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. We've got a developing story today,
Luke,
Will.
I
got
to point out one second before you jump into your next story as well that my Simone Biles reference was Wisconsin related, because remember, Simone Biles is now married to Packers safety Jonathan Owens. So we do have Packers fan Simone Biles in the house, and I dropped that reference point. Aaron, mark that down, please.
Not a headline, so just going to mark that down as well, please. Okay.
Remove what's the word for that? Strike that from the record.
Yes. Objection. There we go. My next one for Wisconsin headlines of the week. With the change on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, we've already had some lawsuits now. We've got two cases filed before the state's highest court regarding the redistricting of the maps, challenging the 2021-2022 maps that were drawn after the Evers administration and the Republican-led Wisconsin legislature could not agree, took it to the state Supreme Court, and then the U.S. Supreme Court got involved when it came to the state legislative maps. The congressional maps were upheld. But we've seen a challenge to the state's 1849 abortion law that is working its way through the courts right now, expected to go all the way up to the state's highest court. And of recent, there was a lawsuit filed challenging the absentee ballot process and how Wisconsin voters can return their absentee ballots using drop boxes, trying to get rid of signatures because I forget the exact argument that they make, but between having a witness signature, absentee ballot drop boxes, and the timeline for resolving errors on your absentee ballot are the three items being challenged in a lawsuit. And Republicans now, this is the headline of the week, Will. Republicans launch defense of Wisconsin legislative maps and ballot drop box plan. So we have legislative Republicans intervening in these lawsuits now, brought by Democratic-leaning organizations and a Dane County voter in the case of the drop box challenge. And now the Wisconsin lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, are going to hire private attorneys to defend the rules around absentee ballots and, it seems like, around the legislative map. So more private attorneys' fees going to be coming out of the Wisconsin taxpayer funds. I guess that's what Republicans in the state capitol want to spend the $4 billion surplus on. They've got money to burn, and they're going to spend it on private attorneys.
Wealthy tax cuts and private attorneys, yeah.
Yeah, so that is my next submission for most Wisconsin headline of the week, because this isn't new. This is something that the Republican-led legislature has been doing. Rather than using state attorneys, they take their grievances to court, and then they pay private attorneys exorbitant fees, $400-$500 an hour, to represent them on behalf of the legislature when they're suing in these lawsuits. So over the last 10, 15 years, there have been millions of dollars, of taxpayer dollars, spent
our money
to
Luke,
private
our
attorneys.
Money.
Yeah, taxpayer dollars, our money, to I'm private just emphasizing. Attorneys defending the lawsuits that in some cases the Republicans go pick these fights and do the lawsuits, and then other times they act with impunity and think that they can do whatever they want, and then those end up in court as well. And so it is a very Wisconsin thing that we are seeing lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, paying private attorneys to represent them in these lawsuits.
Yeah, and as you noted, Luke, and I was just trying to give some emphasis that it, yes, taxpayer money, that is literally our money being used for private attorneys to represent our elected officials as they try to buy authority with the courts and with the in an effort to maintain the status quo across the state, as we saw with the Supreme Court election. It seems the people of Wisconsin wanted to go in a different direction. They don't seem to be too excited about that. We're going to see how this plays out, and I'm sure we'll be here covering it on the front lines.
Yeah, it goes back to defending the maps that were passed in 2011 when those were brought before court. It went back to defending the lame duck. Private attorneys were hired there. Michael Gableman got like a $2.5 million check to just run around and do a wild goose chase looking for widespread voter fraud that he just couldn't actually find and put in a report because, you know, it didn't exist.
And we did get a text.
They wanted somebody to come up with nothing. I could have done it for $1 million, let alone $2.5 million.
You could have saved the state $1.5 million.
I would be more efficient.
On that topic, though, Jeff from Shorewood texted in that more right-wing hack lawyers like Gableman should get hired if they were cheaper.
All right, Jeff.
Does that mean that I'm the new right-wing hack lawyer? Because I'll do it for $1 million.
Sounds like Will's volunteering. Folks, if you've got a Wisconsin headline, we want to hear it. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media, and we're going to be right back.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit theriffin.com/disclosure.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
Well, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Showers and storms tonight, some could be on the strong side. We'll see a low around 57. Sunshine and 82 on Saturday. Saturday night, mostly clear, lows around 57. Chance of showers on Sunday, 78. Currently, 78 degrees.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Hallelujah, it's Friday, 'cause I've been working all week.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. As you just heard, it's Friday, which means it's Wisconsin Headlines of the Week, and it is my turn once again. I'm going to go over to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, reading over from a piece published August 9th. Milwaukee ranked by Forbes magazine as a top city for young professionals. The Forbes list graded the U.S. the best U.S. metro areas for young professionals, and Milwaukee ranked 16th. The good land was included on the list because of its relatively low median home prices and estimated monthly mortgage payments. The only other Wisconsin cities to make the list were, Wisconsin City to make the list, just one singular, was Madison, which squeezed into the top 25 at number 22. The cities were graded based on a number of factors, including unemployment rate, affordability, median home prices, median income, estimated monthly mortgage payments. Categories were created to measure cultural amenities and food and drink prices. Midwest cities were very well represented, Luke. In addition to Milwaukee and Madison, the Midwest nearly swept the top five. Des Moines was first, Omaha third, Columbus fourth, Cincinnati fifth, Minneapolis sixth, Indianapolis 13th, and Detroit 14th. Great job, Midwest. And
those all sounded Milwaukee. Like the Midwest. Which one wasn't Midwest in the top five?
I did not have number two. So whoever number two was.
Gotcha.
Midwest is first, third, fourth, and fifth.
I gotcha. All right, there we go. That's pretty Wisconsin headline. We're a great place to live. We love people. We want you to move here. And I got my next one for a community here in Wisconsin that is encouraging individuals to move to the small towns across Wisconsin as well. It's not just the big metro areas that are terrific areas. My headline from over at the Wisconsin State Journal, Poinette, wants to welcome 1,000 people to its small town with new housing development. Almost $100 million housing development looking to bring 1,000 more residents to Poinette. And it's like the Midwestern hospitality. Investing in that, that's going to dramatically increase the population of the small town. But warm, welcoming Poinette, Wisconsin, wanting you to move there. And I just saw that and I was like, that is a Midwestern nice aspect, and that is a Wisconsin headline. So that was my next contribution for most Wisconsin headlines of the week, Will.
We always bring the Midwestern nice. I have another shout out to Milwaukee, as they were also ranked by HGTV.com as one of the 25 best hiking cities in the United States, Luke. So great job to Milwaukee. Keep it up. Don't give me that face. I'm just reading what I see. I'm just reading what I see. Okay. So for my final entry.
Was that
of the
not
day,
just it? That was your final
no,
entry.
No.
Sounded like a new source, new story, new headline. Oh, okay.
Just giving a shout out. Something that we've touched on briefly in the past, but I just wanted to give another, I don't know if this is necessarily good, but piece over from USA Today. This was a couple of weeks ago, but you and I have been joking about it. We haven't had the chance to mention it on air. The top 10 richest women in the United States had three Wisconsin participants in the top 10. Diane Hendricks, number one, with a net worth of $15 billion. Judy Faulkner was number three with a net worth of $7.4 billion. And Elizabeth Uline, number nine, with $3.7 billion. All three of those names should sound very familiar, Luke. Two of them in particular are heavy donors to a lot of Wisconsin political causes, so they come up on the show quite frequently. And evidently, Wisconsin does have three of the 10 wealthiest women in the United States.
Yeah, it's a list, that's for sure. There's some, I did not get a chance to see the whole 10, but 30% almost of, or 30% of the top 10, being made up by the state. That's pretty great. All right.
Well, it depends on what you look, what you think of consolidation of wealth, but yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your turn, Luke.
Oh, we got time for one more. All right. Do I get my honorable mention?
No. You're right. No, you're right. You went first today, so I'm so right, used to
I'm
winning.
I'm going
to
sneak in my HGTV honorable mention then, just noteworthy here, because it's a lot of fun. One of the things I've been tracking in recent weeks and months since the coaching announcement happened for Luke Fickell to be the head coach for the Wisconsin Badgers football team is he likes to send out a GIF of Camp Randall and say it's a nice graphic. It just comes over. It's on Wisconsin. And it's what he puts out when there's a new recruit committing to the Badgers. The Badgers is going to be getting a 4-star cornerback recruit from Florida. And it's just so much fun, because you, as soon as you see the Fickell post that GIF, you automatically got to start looking for Badger headlines, because you know somebody's committing to the team, and it's really exciting right now. The anticipation is building for this Badger season, and that's my HGTV.com honorable mention for the end of the show.
The HGTV.com sponsored honorable Wisconsin headline of the week.
Yeah, I think
like
we have to call those that every week now, regardless of whether or not HGTV is involved.
But Xavier Lucas committing to Wisconsin for the 2024 class. I saw that GIF go out and I was like, all right, I got to go see what the Badger headlines are.
Excellent. All right, Aaron.
All right, Mr. Zommers.
It's your time of the week. Your
so
time to shine.
For a quick recap, Luke has the State Fair livestock auction to pay for college, the Wisconsin Supreme Court temper tantrum over spilled milk, some more wealthy tax cuts in private attorneys, new housing in small towns in Wisconsin, and the HGTV honorable mention of the new 4-star Badger recruit. Will has the Stevens Point college student challenging Tammy Baldwin, the Brewers lobbying for renovation, Milwaukee being the top place for one of the top places for young professionals, and Wisconsin having three of the top 10 richest women in the United States, as well as the actually HGTV honorable mention of Milwaukee being a good place to hike, which I'm
one of the 25 best places to hike, Aaron.
I don't understand that, but all right.
It raised some eyebrows for me too, Aaron, from being from the Milwaukee area.
There's great urban
what?
Trails. We got the Hank Aaron State Trail.
Yes,
we got Lakeshore State
Leaf,
Park,
yeah.
Discovery World, the Ice Age Trail. Tons of opportunity.
I'm not going to dispute it. I just didn't know if it was top 25, I guess. That's all. I don't know the hiking trails around the metro areas of the United States very well. So
we got to defer to the experts at HGTV for that one then, Luke. That's why they get the
HGTV.com.
HGTV.com,
though.
HGTV.com.
Yes. Or is it .us?
It's .com in this situation.
Okay,
this
gotcha.
One I double-checked.
Gotcha. All right, Mr. Zommers. You have the tally there. Which one of us, Will or I, had the most Wisconsin headlines of this week?
This week's HGTV.com Wisconsin Headline of the Week champion is Luke Mathers.
Yes.
It was a very close one, but I think the community engagement that we got off of the spilled milk metaphor really helped a lot.
So Joe from Madison
what about
and Jeff from
Biles
Sherwood.
Reference?
You know what? That's a good point. There was also the Simone Biles reference, but the milk is more like... Simone Biles only got married this year.
Yeah, I was just saying, it's a recent Wisconsin addition. Milk is part of our DNA here in Wisconsin.
I've already reached out to my private attorneys on taxpayer dollars.
Is Robin
to,
Voss
to
flipping the bill? Is Voss flipping the bill too? Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. We appreciate everybody out there participating this week. If you want to join us, send us an email for a topic suggestion. We'll be back on Monday at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.